Good afternoon. This is Flora Esteves, and I'm the operations manager and producer of the Greater IBM Connection, which is the official IBM alumni program for all current and former employees of the IBM Corporation. Welcome to our Molly and Friends series, and today you're going to be hearing from Molly Wendell, who has a special guest speaker, Keith Ferrazzi. And Keith and Molly are going to be having a discussion. Keith is going to present for about 35 to 40 minutes, and they will be engaged in a discussion around relationships that matter and how to create successful relationships and how to know who's got your back. I'm going to move on and just let you know that the Greater IBM Connection has broken through, and we are now over 100,000 members worldwide. There are many of you on the call now. Hopefully you are all on the audio. If you are not, then you can't hear me, so that you should be on the audio. I'm going to ask you to please be mindful of a few housekeeping or just courtesies during the webinar. Please only use the chat room if you have an emergency and need to speak to either myself or Larry Phipps, who's also online. He's the editor of the Greater IBM Connection. If you have an emergency, the chatting and the scroll of the chat screen is very distracting to our speakers. Secondly, we thank all of you who are mindful to sign on with your first and your last name. It helps us to direct targeted events to you. And we don't want to delay much further, so I'm going to introduce you to your series host. Molly Wendell is a former IBMer, like many of you on this call today, and she has been hosting for the Greater IBM Connection since June of 2009, a series called Career on Track that many of you favor and attend religiously every month. Molly started a series of introducing us to her peers in the career expertise industry, and she is today going to introduce you to another one of her friends. Molly is the president of the Executives Network, and she's the author of a book that many of you have bought and know because of her series, Career on Track, and that is The New Job Search. So without further ado, Molly.
Laura, thank you so much. Well, we are really excited today to have Keith Ferrazzi join us. But let me tell you a little bit about the series, about Molly and Friends. And when Flora and I talked about bringing on some speakers to come and talk to the Greater IBM Connection about different things, I really focused on things like relationships and personal branding and really how do you present yourself and then how do you build your network. And so I'm very excited today to bring you Keith Ferrazzi. So let's talk a little bit about Keith. Now, here's the interesting thing. About four to five years ago, when I was in commercial real estate, my partner came in one day, and he said, Molly, have you ever read the book Never Eat Alone? And I said, no, what's that? And he said, it's a book about you. And I go, well, I guess I don't have to read it then, because it's a book about me. But he was talking about networking. He said, this Keith Ferrazzi guy, he is the ultimate networker, and he's really talks about all the different ways that you can really create better, more meaningful relationships. So it really reinforced my views on networking, and it was all good. So late last year, I was speaking with Keith about his most recent book, Who's Got Your Back, and his book was so revealing in how accountability is the key to building productive relationships for the long term. It really hit home. So then Keith and I were brainstorming about how we could collaborate on an event, and that resulted in today's webinar for you. So in addition to his books, Keith and his team, they focus work with the top enterprises on helping with business development to drive sales, spark innovation, and make teams more productive. You might have seen him on the Wall Street Journal, Harvard Business Review, Fast Company, or if you're not a reader, watch TV, saw him on the Today Show, Good Morning America, CNBC, Larry King. His understanding of the power of relationships and how they can impact our lives both personally and professionally, truly amazing, and we are so very fortunate to have him today. And with that, I will turn it over to Keith.
Thanks a lot, Molly. I appreciate it. And, Floor, thanks a lot for having me. You know, first of all, I want to talk to this amazing group of people that are on the line here. I've got to tell you, it's quite an honor to be addressing an esteemed group of IBMers. I've been affiliated and known IBM for quite a while now. From my very first engagement with you when I just started my company after leaving Starwood Hotels. I worked with Bill Zeitler, a wonderful guy who many of you know by reputation or personally, who retired just a couple of years ago, and really to me epitomized some of the things we're going to be talking about today in terms of the power of real, authentic relationships in his life. I've worked with your sales teams, folks like Bob Sampson and others, and I just have to tell you, in an organization that was steeped and grounded in differentiating yourselves based on how you went to market with relationships, it's quite an honor. So let's get right to work here. I think if you tuned into this call, you certainly recognize the importance of relationships in your life. You know that networking is important. And let me just punctuate that a little bit more with some data that I think you could carry out to the world as you talk to people who might not necessarily recognize that. Do you realize something very interesting? From a career perspective, if you have one friend at work, if you have one relationship at work inside of the workplace, you have a 30% higher level of employee engagement, which translates to somewhere close to about a 17% higher level of productivity in your work, in your work life. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just think back for a second in terms of the relationships we've had in our lives with leaders. If you've ever had a boss that really cared about your success, do you remember how you bound out of bed with more vim and vigor? Do you remember how you did your work with more excitement and more enthusiasm? Do you remember how you probably connected with people in the workplace and your teams with more power as well? All because of the joy and the excitement associated with human relationships. Now, listen, I know everybody in this call are in sales, and by the way, I don't necessarily mean that all of you have the position of sales, but if any of you in this room would like to have a raise, you're in sales. If any of you in this room have a passion for an idea or a mission inside of the workplace, you're in sales. If any of you is single, you're in sales. So I recognize the fact that we're all out there working hard to influence others, to bring them along with our passions, with our missions, with our dreams, having people believe and bet on us as individuals, not necessarily our products, because our products, even more today than ever, are non-differentiable. They feel like commodities. If not to us, they feel like commodities to the consumers of them. So it's our relationships with these individuals that differentiate ourselves and our capacity to influence. That capacity to influence boils down to trust. It boils down to real relationships. What we found anthropologically when we studied the subject, and that's what we do, we're a research institute that studies how people's minds work in a business context, how relationships can actually be accelerated for the sake of business growth, joy, and greater levels of success. So what we found anthropologically is all of us are hardwired as humans to be tribal. We're all hardwired to connect. We're all hardwired to be generous to each other and help each other be successful. We're hardwired as individuals to be candid. We're hardwired as individuals to care. Now, some of those things we might not feel like we're hardwired to do because society and technology and a lot of different things have spread us to the wind. Our families don't eat together anymore. Our churches, unfortunately, don't have the same power that they used to. Our towns, unfortunately, don't have the same community that they used to. So the tribalism that we long to connect with, and we know this because when we do connect with another person, we exhale, we relax, we feel like we're in the right spot. But we don't feel that enough. We don't feel that enough on our sales calls. We don't feel that enough on our teams. We don't feel that enough in our companies. We don't feel that enough walking around the world. Sometimes we don't feel that enough in our families. As a result of not feeling that enough, we have really isolated ourselves and felt that we're the only tribe. We as individuals are the only tribe we can count on. So it's us as individuals and the rest of the world is the them. And that's really unfortunate. So what we're going to be talking about today is how do we actually create, and let's go to the next slide, how do you actually create accelerated relationship development? And I don't want this discussion that we're having today, I don't want it to be a one-way conversation, even though I got to tell you, when I get rolling on this stuff, as you can tell, I get a little bit passionate. You've got your chat rooms. You've got questions. We want you to be asking them along the way. When we're done with this, we're going to be allowing you to ask questions. So I want you to open up and really hit me with the hardest questions you possibly can. Because, listen, I get up every morning with a spring in my step, knowing that if I can get the world, if I can get you to be more effective at building real, authentic relationships in your life for sales, for leadership, for your career, for mentorship. If I can, and for the service that you want to be to the world, if I can get you to do that a little bit better, you're going to have more joy, you're going to have more success, the world's going to be a better place. So please make sure that anything you feel or you're thinking of, you can hit me with. Now let me tell you, this is a lot of research has gone into what we've done. And we have, as I mentioned, a research institute that really studies human relationships in the workplace. And we have created 6 days of curriculum, 6 days of curriculum that we teach some of the world's greatest organizations, including maybe your own organization, depending upon where you are today. We teach the world's greatest organizations how to do this, and it's very expensive because it's hand-holding and it's deep, and I got to say, it's like $10,000 per person for a one-year cycle of this content, and it's very, very exciting. But because today IBM has given you the offer to be able to take the Relationship Masters Academy, the new pilot in an online program, which is very mission-driven, which we'll talk about at the end of this call, you're going to be able to do this for something that's very approachable in price because of IBM, that's going to be very powerful for you. I think the price is only $400 if you're interested. So, but if you're not, then that's fine. Then go to KeithFerazzi.com, and you can get a lot of these resources for free as well. The books that I've written, Never Eat Alone and Who's Got Your Back, are ubiquitously available. My job is to get you to change your behaviors for your own success. Now, just let me pause for a moment. When we think about transforming your life and your ability to manage relationships, we think on three different levels. We think on the way you think, the mindsets of your life. We think about process and very specific things that you can do every day to make you more effective managing and building those relationships. And we think about skills, very specific things that you can learn to do, tips and tactics that are very powerful and important. We're going to be talking a lot about the mindsets today. We're going to dive into the process that you can apply to make sure that you have the greatest relationships that you need and you can track and maintain them and not lose touch with those relationships. And throughout the opportunity, I'm going to be giving you a bunch of skill sets, ideas, and tactics and tips of things that you can do just you know, when you get out of bed in the morning and start thinking about how you're going to build a rich life full of better relationships and a rich network which will be there for you. So it's the right mindset, process, and skills that will be powerful. Let's actually go to the next slide. I think I've actually covered this slide, but what we're talking about is, in the broadest sense, the relationships of your life will drive high-impact teams. Interestingly enough, we found that of the 55 highest-performing teams in work environments, the number one predictive element is they actually liked each other, that there were deep social bonds among the team. And what the reason for that, we believe, is that with deeper social bonds, you can take risks. You can take risks of higher levels of innovation. You can say things that you know, that you might have been afraid to say otherwise, but because of the deep social bonds, you can actually come out and have the conversation. And as a result, you might find major breakthroughs in processes or client opportunities. You can also, from a risk management perspective, you can say things that you believe are going to stop this program from working that might be being rolled out right now. I mean, just think about it for a second. When's the last time you sat in a conference room and heard somebody tell you about a new program or project, and you sat there and you thought, I don't think this is going to work for the following reasons, but you didn't say anything. And the reason you didn't say anything is you didn't have social permission. You didn't have the social comfort to be able to have that kind of truth-telling in the room. If any of us have ever been in a meeting, and then after the meeting, the real conversation starts, that actually is the worst detrimental effect to business and to our success. We need to be able to have these candid, peer-to-peer, accountable conversations in the context of the workplace. And all of this boils down to greater relationships. So we're going to talk about teams. We're going to talk about sales. We're going to talk about your careers, and let's go to the next slide. At the core of all great relationships are four core values. And as I mentioned before, the greatest relationships have high degrees of candor and accountability, higher degrees of candor, truth-telling. Oddly enough, our friends don't really tell us the truth. We have found in our studies that most of our friends tell us what they think we want to hear. And why? Because we tell them that's what we want to hear. We actually ask our friends to placate us way too often. We ask our friends to to soothe us and tell us that, oh, yeah, well, that boss is just a jerk. Well, I'm sorry, if it's the fifth boss in a row that's just a jerk, there might be another problem going on here, which may be our own behaviors in some way. It could be that truth-telling, if left unbridled, and if the feedback process were to become more rich and robust in our life because our relationships actually cared enough about us to tell us the truth, then what we'd find, just imagine the annual review process for any of you on the call. Imagine if you've been, when you show up at the annual review, what we found in our studies was that when you show up at the annual review, it's too late because, number one, your raise is already determined, your promotability is already determined, and now you're about to get a bunch of information, which all too often, unfortunately, has been watered down by the people around you because of their fear and cowardice to tell you the truth in front of you. I mean, it seems awfully silly, but imagine if you as an individual decided to go back 6 to 9 months and were voraciously collecting information about yourself from everybody. You know, tell me the truth. Tell me what I'm doing that could be better. Tell me what you see me doing that you want me to do more of. And if people actually had a strong enough relationship with you where they cared enough about you to trust the risk of pushing the edges of that relationship, because people have to feel the relationship is deep and solid to criticize you. And you have to feel that somebody's criticism of you is caring and real for you to absorb it. Otherwise, if the feedback and the criticism doesn't come with any sense of intimacy or care, then what you're going to end up finding is that relationship in that regard is only going to be tyrannical. It's going to feel like you're being berated. But if it's a caring relationship, then we call that caring criticism, and that kind of feedback is very powerful. Candor is critical in your life. You need more of it. Accountability is critical in your life. You need more of it. The kind of accountability that I'm talking about is peer-to-peer, kind of accountability that works in Weight Watchers and AA, where you've got peers helping each other one day at a time step up and be the greatest person in the world that they can be. There's not a single one of us on this call that doesn't do things that holds us back from being successful. And hopefully, if you're slightly introspective, you have some sense of what that is. Are you conflict avoidant in your conversations? Do you happen to be a control freak? Or are you, relative to understanding emotional intelligence of other people, are you more analytical and scientific, and you block out the EQ components of what's going around you? I mean, I don't know what your particular areas let's call them addictions for a second. And the reason I use a powerful word like that is because we all have behaviors that we practice that hold us back, and we keep practicing them anyway, right? I mean, you know, if you're conflict avoidant and you've always been conflict avoidant, you know you're conflict avoidant, you sit in those meetings, you let people walk over you, you're a pleaser sometimes, and you're always working on pleasing, but you don't take care of yourself. Maybe you know you're a bully, maybe you know you have a temper. Whatever those things are, those are things that if you don't fix in your life, you're going to hold yourself back from being the success you deserve to be. Well, who's going to help you identify when you're going into that bad place? Who's going to help you pull you back, remind you, hold you accountable? It's got to be what we call your lifeline relationships. We've taken the concept of relationships, and we've actually segmented it, and we're going to talk about it when we get to a process in a moment in a couple of slides. We've segmented it all the way from the strongest, deepest relationships you could have, the inner core, which are called lifeline relationships. And those are very important because if you don't have two or three lifeline relationships that practice all four of those values sitting in front of you, high degrees of candor, high degrees of accountability, high degrees of intimacy where someone really cares about you, high degrees of generosity where this individual and you really make a commitment not to let each other fail, where you're thinking about each other even when the other person isn't around, those four attributes of great relationships are your lifeline relationships. Now, when we see extraordinary teams in the work environment, we see teams that exhibit those four behaviors, interestingly enough, and mediocre teams less so. Mediocre teams have less intimacy, less generosity, mutual generosity, less candor, and less accountability. It all makes sense because the same sense of tribalism that kept the tribe together is the same sense of tribalism that needs to keep you and your teams together and you and your families together. Are these four words working in your life today? Are they working in your life with your family and your significant other? You know, we look at those four words, and those were the core of a book I just wrote called Who's Got Your Back, Well, the average American doesn't know who has their back, interestingly enough. Literally, over 50% of Americans said they didn't know who had their back. Isn't that that's sad and powerful, but it's even sadder and more powerful when you realize that over 50% of those 50% of Americans that didn't know who had their back, 60% of them were married. So what does this say about our family lives today? And you need a place. What I found in my life is I needed a place where I could practice being the kind of human that practiced these four core values. You know, it might not start in your family. It might not start in your workplace. It might start with an old friend you haven't seen in a long time. It might start with you picking up the phone and calling somebody. And in Who's Got Your Back, we talk about picking up the phone and calling somebody and saying, let's go for a long, slow dinner, which is your ability to reconnect and test whether somebody can be a lifeline relationship for you. Now, when you came into this conversation to talk about networking, why am I spending so much time talking about lifeline relationships? The reason is this. When we reach out to the world to network, when we reach out to the world to create acquaintances, right, which is generally what a network is at the beginning, the way that you are internally, the practice that you have being intimate, the practice that you have being generous, the practice that you have having courage in your relationships around candor and accountability, it's reflective in how you reach out to people. When I walk into a cocktail party, there's two things I think about. I no longer think about how do I work the room, how do I network, because that always makes me feel a little bit dirty. It makes me feel like I'm trying to get something from somebody and use somebody, and I feel uncomfortable. The reason I've been as successful as I have at understanding how to build relationships for life success is because this stuff doesn't come naturally to me either. I've had to learn it along the way. I've had to learn it and infuse it into my life, and I talk about that in the stories of Who's Got Your Back. But when I walk into a cocktail party, I think of two simple things. How do I help somebody, and how do I find somebody to care about? Now, this is very powerful because the concept of intimacy does not happen by saying, how do I get somebody to like me? That doesn't work. So if you're sitting right now and you're thinking about your career and you're saying, how do I build my career? Or you're thinking yourself as a leader, how do I make people want to really follow me? Or you're in sales, how do I connect to people instantly in a selling situation? The answer is find reasons to care about them. Listen to me. Find reasons to care about them. What I mean by that is don't try to push yourself. Don't try to sell. You're actually, by virtue of looking at somebody and figuring out who that person is, what are the aspects of that person that you can care about, their family, their hobbies, their passions, their stories, their past struggles, where they came from. Those are the ways in which you're going to be able to actually care about somebody, and then what will follow is the relationship. People will care about the people that care about them. You start with caring. Now, often people don't give you that permission right away, so you've got to start with something a little bit different. You start with the generosity, because when you reach out to somebody and say, hi, I want you to be my friend, people are like, thank you very much, I got enough friends today. I'm busy, I got a job to do, I got work to do. But if you reach out to somebody and say, how can I help you? How can I serve you? What can I do to make you more successful? The greatest leaders walk into a room and they say and they believe, my job is to make this group of people successful. My job is to make them money. My job is to make their careers rich. My job is to help them be successful in their tasks and their objectives. My job as a leader is to serve. And when you believe that and you emanate that, people will give you all the permission in the world to build a great relationship, which leads to real loyalty that is undeniable. If you walk into a client and you say, my job is to serve you and make you more successful, we're going to be talking today just a little bit about some pieces of that when we get to the process, but deep generosity in a selling situation, and it's not about just pushing your product. There's nothing more frustrating to me, particularly in places like technical sales and financial services sales, where primarily your product is undifferentiable. It's fundamentally a commodity, whether you like it or not. You're walking out into the world and you're pushing a transaction? No, you're pushing that person's success. How do you make that person's career more successful? How do you make that person more successful? I mean, Michael Milken taught me a number of years ago when I worked for him that there are three things that fundamentally drive loyalty: health, wealth, and children. Health, wealth, and children. You help a person's children get an internship, you know, that's what's meaningful to somebody. You help their You help them in a situation from a health perspective. If you're able to, you know, give them a diet that really worked for you or an exercise routine that really worked for you, or you get them in touch with a prostate cancer doctor that you know who has really been phenomenal for you when they get them diagnosed, that's loyalty. That's loyalty. Worrying about other people's success is the way you get their attention. It gives you permission to get to know them. And then as you're getting to know them, your job is not to sell yourself. Your job is to like and care for them. And then you'll get the permission to have the courage, to have candor and accountability from which you can build from. On the right side of page 4 of this slide, we have some basic rules that teams use to exhibit these behaviors. And this is what we teach teams. Teams, from a candor perspective, have to take a risk and say what you're thinking. If you're a leader and you're allowing people to be sublimated in their voice, you're a terrible leader. Stop it. Grow up, be courageous, hear the truth about you, hear the truth about the project, because not hearing it is not going to help you be a great leader. It's only going to come up in the future in terms of resentment and passive-aggressive behaviors. Give a damn enough to forgive. We're all human. We're all going to slip up. We all have weird eccentricities and things that we do that piss people off. Be the kind of person that cares enough to forgive, and get to the point where people around you care enough about you to forgive your eccentricities. Intimacy. Once a decision's been made, we can't let each other fail. If you've had the candor and you've heard each other out in a leadership situation, and you actually care enough about each other from an intimacy perspective, then the generosity kicks in. I may not have agreed with the decision, but I'm going to commit to it, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to all going to be on the same page, and I'm going to support you because I care. Sure, you know, my answer wasn't the one we went with. Who cares? We're going forward together. And then ultimately, without results, we're done, and we're going to hold each other accountable for that kind of rigor and those kind of results. Now, let's turn a little bit now to the process that's associated with relationships and accelerating relationships. We call this the relationship acceleration process, and what we're going to be talking about is relationship action planning. And this is actually what we teach in the Relationship Masters Academy. If you're interested in the Relationship Masters Academy, we'll talk a little bit about it later, but you might want to take a look at it. It's at relationshipmastersacademy.com/executivesnetwork.com, but that's with an S, relationshipmastersacademy.com/executives.com. Okay? But the other thing is, if all that's too confusing, just go ahead and go to keithferrazzi.com, and you can find what you need there. Okay? All right, so here's where we go. We want to start talking about a clear process that I want all of you to put into place that helps you build relationships that will make you successful in sales, in leadership, and in life. So the way you go about doing that is, by the way, this is a process that we work with CEOs of major corporations. We teach them how to create and manage. Imagine this for a moment. And if you're an entrepreneur, this is something to think about for your company, not just for you as an individual. We work with major corporations to ask the question, who are the 500 most important people to the growth of your company? What an important question. Think about that for a second. We do strategic planning in our lives of, what, you know, where do we want to go? How do we want to get there? What do we want to do? When do we ever ask the question who? And yet who is the answer to fulfillment of all of our dreams? You know, if you want to break into China and you're a massive tech company, then probably there are some major regulators and government officials in China where the personal relationship is going to be important. Did you think about it that way? Have you thought about the who? And I'm not talking about, oh, I want a relationship with, you know, General Motors. I'm talking about, I want a relationship with this procurement officer, this head of marketing, this gatekeeper to that procurement officer, because it's about who. Companies don't have relationships with companies. You don't have a relationship with a company. You have a relationship with people. People have relationships with people. So when we ask, who are the 500 most important people to the success and growth of a company like IBM or some other company, then the question is, who are the people at an IBM who have relationships with what people in the marketplace or otherwise? Now, that's what it comes to your focus. What do you want to do? Why are you on this call? Is this about your career? If it's about your career, then who are the most important people that you need to build a relationship with for your career? Is it for advancement? Is it for a raise? Is it for sales? If it's for sales, who are the prospects? Who are the clients? Who are the influencers? Who are the conduits? Who are the gatekeepers? Who are the individuals? Now, I'm always shocked when I work with companies around their account planning on how bad they were in understanding the next step, which is the actual list, the targeted audiences. It's actually shocking to see how little time we spend understanding who these people are. Now, when I say who these people are, first thing is, of course, we're going to get their names, right? But the next thing, and you can see the reason we draw a bullseye on this idea of the question who and targeting is because you've got to prioritize. The center of the bullseye is going to require more time and attention than the outer rings. For the most important people in your life, let's just start today and say that there are 25 most important people in your life. Who are the five most important? Because when we get down to your outreach strategy of reaching out and maintaining contact with those five, they're going to be fundamentally deeper, more active outreach than you would have with the other 20. So the prioritization, just listing in your network A's, B's, and C's, and this is a very powerful process. The next thing that you want to do is you want to begin to enumerate the strength of the relationship. We actually put an intimacy score on every name. So if you've got the five most important people to your success, whatever you've just decided that you're going to be focusing on in the coming year, so let's get real on this. In the coming year, what do you want to do? What's your focus? In the coming year, who are the five most important people that you need to build better relationships with in order to achieve that success? Some of them you may know today. Some of them you may not know. Some of them, you know, you might have to go research because you don't even know who, you know, what their names are. You just know that, well, one of them's a headhunter and one of them's the CEO of this, that, or the other type of a company, all right? So the point is that you get the names written down of the five. Now, what is the intimacy scale? And an intimacy scale starts with a negative relationship, a negative one, all the way to a five. A negative one is a damaged relationship. You may have a client, or you may have a boss, or you may have a peer or an associate that you have a strained relationship with, yet they're critical to your success. That's a negative one. A zero is somebody you've never met before. They don't know you from Adam, and you don't know them. A one is somebody that you may be remotely aware of each other. A two is actually somebody you've met with a number of times and you've been in meetings with, but you don't know them. A three is an acquaintance, somebody that, oddly enough, in the work environment, we call a three. We call the three a friend, although they're often not friends. You don't know anything about them. You don't know their families. You don't hang out with them on the weekends. A four is a real friend, somebody that you look forward to spending real time with. And a five is a lifeline relationship, somebody who really has your back that you could call at 3 o'clock in the morning if you needed to. Not saying that every relationship has to be moved to a five, but in the work environment, what I'm telling you is that most of you live your lives with ones, twos, and some threes in the work environment. Threes do not yield loyalty. Threes are not the kind of people who are going to give you a break when you slip up. Threes are not the kind of people that are going to give you opportunities that are above your competency today because they know you can stretch for it. When I was less than 30 years old, I became the chief marketing officer of Deloitte, and I guarantee it wasn't because I was the best marketer in the world. It was because of the relationship that I had, which was almost a five-level relationship with the CEO, who was like a second father to me, Pat LeCanto, who took me under his wing and taught me what I needed to learn. And that's what was so powerful. What was so powerful was that kind of relationship that I had with Pat, which opened up opportunities, right? So you prioritize the relationships, you measure the strength of the relationships, and then you begin, and then you begin, once you've got the A-level priorities, you begin to fill in the B's and the C's, but let's focus on the A's. Once you have those A-level priorities, and you want to figure out how do you begin to build those relationships, the first question, go back to the mindsets that I mentioned earlier, first question you have to ask yourself is, what can I do for them? What can I do to make them more successful? How do I be generous? You need to define what your currency is to them. Now, how did I get to have such a great relationship with Pat LeCanto, the CEO of Deloitte? Well, my currency was my enthusiasm, my loyalty to the firm, my desire to learn, my My ability to say to him, listen, you know, Pat, when I met him at a cocktail party, here are five ideas I have to make the company more successful. And I was just a snot-nosed kid who probably, you know, 80% of those ideas, and I don't even remember them now, were probably, in his mind, just silly. But my enthusiasm was infectious and my loyalty and care. And then I said to him, give me a project, Pat, on the side, outside of my work environment, in the evenings and in the weekends that I can work on. And that little project happened to be along the way was, you know, how does a professional services firm best define marketing? Well, I was just a kid. I was just a kid, and he gave me that little project. And I'm sure he sort of thought, well, this is great. You know, go away, kid, play with this and come back someday. Well, I did, and I impressed him with my thinking. We kept meeting around the subject, and ultimately I defined the entire marketing function for Deloitte, and I ended up being a partner, the youngest partner ever elected in the firm, and, you know, and the chief marketing officer of the company, because I gave that extra effort. I give that extra effort. I define my currency for my clients. I've got a client who's struggling in their job. I'm sitting there thinking, how do I help them find their next job? I've got a client who, once I develop enough intimacy and care with, because I've given up other things, I get to the stage where I'm the person that the client calls when they just need to talk over the weekend because their marriage is on the rocks. Now, I know that there are many on you of this call who have had those kind of personal relationships in your life, in a work environment. And if you have, all I'm saying is that if in an authentic manner you decide you want to live that kind of rich life, that these kind of relationships are a choice. They're not just accidental and serendipitous like we have in the past. And that's what we teach in the Relationship Masters Academy, and that is that you can transform many relationships in your life to being these kind of authentic and powerful relationships that yield the kind of mutual success. I hope you're not feeling anything in my voice or that I'm saying anything that sounds like it's usury or manipulative. It's not, because purposeful does not mean that it's fake. Just because I purposely choose to relive my life with rich, powerful relationships in my team, rich, powerful relationships with my clients and prospects, rich, powerful relationships with third-party influencers that are critical, does not mean that it's fake, because I care for these people. Some of them I love as dear, dear, dear friends. I go to their children's weddings because I want to, not because I have to. And that's a choice. And you've got to start deciding if you're willing to make those choices in your life and begin to live what I call a blended life, not a balanced life. A balanced life is when you think about your personal life on one hand outside of the workforce, and then you think about your work life as totally distinct and separate. But if you think about it that way, both of them are going to suffer, I promise you. If, on the other hand, you begin to think of a more blended life where you bring your children and your significant other to events and things that you're doing in the work environment, you bring your team into your home and they get to engage with your family, where you begin to bring your spouse to more things than you had in the past, where you make your clients your friends, so you're not having a choice between, am I going to spend time with clients tonight or am I going to spend time with friends? The answer is throw a dinner party and spend time with both, because that your movement is to make them move toward friends. The alignment stage is the stage where you as individuals need to find those two or three people that are going to be lifelines that you can fall back on, that are your core support group, as we talk about in Who's Got Your Back. And the alignment phase is where you find people that are acting as ambassadors, who understand your business goals and objectives and are out there as an extension of your personal sales force. They're out there selling you to others just like you're selling them to the people that you meet. And that's powerful. And I think in your life you may have had one or two people like that. Why not transform two or three more into better ambassadors and better lifelines? The outreach strategy is a strategy that's very deep, very complex, and very exciting. I mean, today we've got social media. We've got meetings, which we've always had, but now we have virtual meetings and physical meetings. We have events and dinner parties and conferences that you go to, and you've got to, and there's a whole, by the way, if you go and you sign up for our tip of the week online at KeithFerazzi.com, you get a free downloadable PDF which teaches you how to transform other people's events that you go to into powerful events. We call it Conference Commando, but it's you know, there's so many things you could do to make a conference more powerful and impactful for your success and we're just letting so, you know, when we go to these things, we're just letting it on the table. And how do we think of other events that we could throw ourselves, little dinner parties and lunches and breakfasts? And I'm not talking about formal stuffy things. I'm talking about things that really let you shine as an individual authentically. And whether it's 14 people or 3 people, whichever your social skills afford you the chance of. And then finally, pinging. Pinging is powerful because it's what keeps you on the radar screen. If you have ever had a relationship which, you know, over a period of time you lost track of, then shame on you. You know, particularly if you've lost track of it and you said, oh, I wish I'd kept in touch with that person. Well, shame on you. It just takes a little bit of process. And we want to teach you that process of how do you enter the names of your A, B, and C level priorities, particularly the C's. The C's become your parking lot, right? In every given year, you're going to reprioritize your relationships, A's, B's, and C's. And don't think that this is odd because you do it already consciously. You spend more time with your own children than you do with your neighbor's children, or you spend more time with your own children than you do with your nephews and nieces, but you love them all. And it's just because you've got to prioritize relationships in your life, and that's okay. So the A-level priorities are your primary focus. The C's are the people that you touch with your annual greeting card. You know, and I send, by the way, a Thanksgiving card, not a Christmas card anymore, because around the holiday season, we're so glutted that I beat everybody to the punch, and Thanksgiving is such a rich American holiday to say to somebody, I authentically care about you. I'm thankful about our relationship. So send a Thanksgiving card, you know, and send a gift, not when everybody else is getting bottles of Veuve Clicquot, you know, around the holidays. Send a gift at the end of January when it really stands out and say, hey, remember, send like some olive oil and some rock salt and some pasta and maybe a bottle of wine and say, remember those holidays where you broke bread and shared with people you love? Don't let that slip away, you know. So think of ways that your outreach and your pinging, because you can do that to multiple people. You can send cards to multiple people once a year to just stay on the radar screen. Birthdays are our powerful way. But all of this is a renewable process that has to constantly get re-looked at and rethought of. And I want to go to the next slide and give you something just to think about for the coming year. But this is all the stuff that we teach at the Relationship Masters Academy. So who are your top 50? So, you know, what do you want to achieve personally and professionally in the next 2 years? That's your focus. Right? Who are your targets? Which groups of people are critical to achieving these goals? And then what specific individuals? Just think, whether it's 50 or 5, who are the top individuals prioritized? And then number the intimacy so that you can begin to track the movement of intimacy with these individuals going forward. Then what is your currency? Define what you can do for these individuals. We spend a lot of time in who's got your back, as well as the Relationship Masters Academy, helping you define your currency so you can reach out to people with richness and generosity. And then what's your outreach strategy? How are you using social media? In RMA, Relationship Masters Academy, we spend so much time thinking about setting up your social media. How do you use Facebook authentically and well and LinkedIn to prioritize your relationships? And because it's so powerful, it's easier to define what you can do for people when you're actually watching their lives unfold in social media, because you can see all the things that they're doing, and you can now prioritize social media. You can prioritize your Facebook relationships, A, B, and C, your Twitter relationships. And if you want to, you know, keep following me, I'll keep giving you these tips every day in both Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. Wherever you are, reach out to me, and let's continue this dialogue and conversation. Look, in conclusion, I want to talk to you a little bit about this thing that we've been talking about all along, which is Relationship Masters Academy, if I go to the next page. Relationship Masters Academy is an online program, but it's not. I don't even think of it as e-learning. It's mission-driven. It's very exciting. There's 3 courses that you can complete, and you never complete them. You constantly come back to them. There's a rich community of other individuals who have committed to their own careers, to their own sales, to their own leadership success, and you coach each other in the process, in the online forums. It's like Facebook for self-improvement, right? And then every day, you know, in every lesson, you get a couple of missions, a mission to go out and start to turn around that negative one relationship that's critical in your life, a mission to begin to reach out with what we call warm calling, not cold calling, to some of those zeros in your life in terms of people that you don't have current relationships or contacts with, but you need. You know, you've got a mission of setting up your social media in a way that works. You get missions. And so it's really about you. It's not about you in some PowerPoint presentation. I give you some coaching online in terms of little video vignettes. We give you resources to read if you want to, and you're off to the races. And what I promise you is, as you develop and engage in this program, you will have the kind of relationship success that you want. And again, the Relationship Masters Academy is something you can find at relationshipmastersacademy.com/executives with an S, network. relationshipmastersacademy.com/executives network. If you can't find it there and you're confused in such a long URL, then just go to keithferrazzi.com and you can find it there. Look, I'm hoping that at this point in time there's tons of questions, but let me just end with a couple of quick stories. I was brought up really poor. My pop was a steel worker and my mom was a cleaning lady. And early on in my life, I figured out that it was going to be the relationships in my life. And I figured this out because I'm walking around caddying at the country club, and I'm watching all these rich people help each other out, find each other business deals. I'm watching them get their kids jobs. And early on, the light went on that it's going to be my relationships with people like this that make the opportunities available to me, right? And that's been true all my life. It's true in the companies that you're working for today. It's true in the dreams that you have for your companies that you're working for today or that you're leading and running. It's true of your sales. It's true of everything in your life. It's people will make you a success. And you're authentic. It's not fake. If you try to fake this stuff, it's going to smell in your suit a mile away. You've got to be passionate and assure that you're reaching out with authenticity, with generosity, and real rich friendships. Because the great news is when I show up at a client, I'm showing up at a friend's. And if I'm showing up at a friend's, I'm joyful. I'm excited. And there are days that I'm not and I'm down and I pick up the phone and I call one of my best clients. And I say to them, I'm having a crappy day, and I just needed to hear your voice and talk to you because I know you'd cheer me up. Now, think about that. I'm reaching out to my client and telling them I need them to cheer me up. Why? Because they're my friend, and they're going to do the same for me. Now, that's loyalty. That's loyalty. I'm never going to hear that some RFP went out and I didn't know about it. With my clients, I'm crafting the RFPs, you know, with them. And I'm always going to, and when I slip up, and we all do, I'm going to be given the opportunity to be forgiven and given the opportunity to work five times harder to recover from the mistake that I made and not get bounced where, you know, one of my peers or associates might just get bounced because, you know, the relationship and the recognition of the knowledge of the intent wasn't there. This is the way you could live your life. It's a choice. It's not accidental. Whether you join Relationship Masters Academy, whether you go online to keithferrazzi.com and just start to get to know us, whether you take a look at Who's Got Your Back as a primary guide for how do you build your rich, authentic relationships like this and how do you move the plan forward, no matter what you do, it's available to you. And I just hope that you use this for your benefit. And you have the courage to do so. My dad gave me that courage a long time ago. Let's skip a couple of slides. Two slides down, just a quick picture of my pop. This is a couple of years before my dad died. And when I was 8 years old, my dad had lost his job for 6 months, which meant that when he was hired back, he was hired back with no pension, and it was a pretty bad time for us. And Christmas was coming up. And Dad and I were sitting along the side of the road because we'd just come back from Delilah's Food Market where we got a fresh loaf of Italian bread and a chunk of pepperoni together. And we're sitting there talking, and Dad's telling me stories. And we see up along the side of the road a pile of trash with a big wheel in the pile of trash. And Dad gets up out of the car to go get this big wheel for me for Christmas. You know, what do you think it takes for a 55-year-old proud steel worker to pick up trash for his son's Christmas present with his son in the car? But Dad used to always say to me, never be afraid to ask. The worst ever anyone could ever say is no. And that's the courage that I want to give you, because some of the times I'm going to be asking you to do things that might stretch you, that might make you feel uncomfortable, that might make you feel unsafe. And I've got to tell you that that's the That's the stuff that's going to hold you back, or is that resistance. You need to break through those barriers. You need to break through, look inside, and start looking authentically at your life and the relationships around you. And then ultimately what was powerful about that was that the woman who came to the door didn't just give us the big wheel. She gave me a bicycle. She actually opened up her garage door and asked my dad if she could give me this mechanical go-kart, right? Now, what I always think about when I go home to visit my mom is I drive by that house, that old gray Victorian house by the Latrobe Country Club, and I think about how that woman must have felt on Christmas Eve when she was thinking about that family, that little boy that she helped. I got to tell you, she got the greater gift that Christmas, not me, because she must have felt so good about having helped. And that's the last point that I want to leave you with. There are so many people in your life today that really want to help you be successful. There are loved ones and team workers and employees that want to get closer to you, but you've got these walls around you that stop you. And they're your own insecurities, and they're your own fears, and your own sense of propriety. But you know that if you let people connect with you, whether they're clients or team members or whoever, that are family members, you know that that's the right thing to do. You know it in your core. You're hardwired that way. And when you do, those people around you are more joyful for being there for you. Sometimes the pinnacle of generosity is letting people who care for you help you. And there's a lot of them around you. And if you just started walking around the world, creating an environment around yourself that let people connect with you, I promise that you're going to live a much richer life, but more importantly, they're going to be better for it too. Sometimes you just got to let people help you to be generous to them. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time today, and I hope this was powerful for
you. Okay. Why don't we go to questions?
Our first question is from Henry Will. Your line is open.
Hello, Keith. Thank you very much for the presentation. You have a lot of energy. I've heard you speak before. This is great. I did have a question if there would be some place we could access the slides, but another thing that I wanted to ask, too.
And by the way, you can at keithferrazzi.com.
Awesome. Okay. Well, then the other thing that I wanted to ask you, too, is how much time does this all take up? It seems as though it would be rather time-consuming to try to keep contact with so many people.
Well, yeah, great question. And the answer is I have two answers. One is it's time well spent, as you can imagine. I would say that, right? But the other thing is with more process comes efficiency. What actually I found is that when people start doing this process, it takes them less time than they're currently spending because it's just more efficient. Imagine if you had I'll give you for instance, sales guy gets buys a black tie table, right, and needs to invite a bunch of people to some dinner party that the local Red Cross is hosting. I know many of us have been in that position before. Now all of a sudden you're scrambling around trying to figure out who to invite, scratching your head. Half, 2 days before the event, you remember two people that you really should have invited, and now all of a sudden the event is less successful. You didn't prepare for it as well. You kind of wasted your money, and it took a lot of time. You show up in, separate example. You show up in New York, but by the way, if you have a good relationship master's process, then you push a button and you get the whole list. You push another button and the mass email goes out, and boom, you're done. So the efficiencies of a little. As my pop used to say, the seven P's: prior proper planning prevents piss poor performance. This will actually help you. I show up in New York 2 weeks in advance. I've known exactly who in New York are on my A, B, and C list. I push a button. My administrative assistants reach out to those people. We schedule dinners. We schedule lunches. We schedule meetings. It's the most efficient process. I never anymore get on a plane on my way home from New York and say, damn it, I should have looked up so-and-so while I was there.
Yeah, okay, that's good. What kind of tool do you use, Keith, for managing all these connections?
I got to tell you, we're in the process of building one because the problem with most CRM systems, customer relationship management systems, are that they actually are not poised to help you manage relationships. They're poised to help you manage opportunities. It's even difficult if I said, it's Henry, right?
Yes.
Yeah, if I said, Henry, I want to keep in touch with you, if I don't have a specific opportunity to open in my CRM system, it's difficult to match you with a set of outreach strategies, okay? So the answer is you can use anything. You can use Outlook. You can use any simple CRM system. But we're actually creating something right now called an ERM system, Executive Relationship Management, that we're going to use as a bolt-in to other programs. In the meantime, it really doesn't matter. You could use a spreadsheet.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Let's go to the next question.
The next question is from Bruce Wellington. Your line is open.
Yeah, this is a great presentation. I've got a question. Many folks at IBM, myself especially, operate remote. In 13 years, I've never been in the same within 500 miles of anybody I work with or manager, et cetera. So it's all instant messaging, email, conference calls, and calls. What suggestions or avenues are available to somebody like that to strengthen these relationships?
Yeah, that's a big deal. And actually, I'm currently working on a big project for Cisco. As you could imagine, that organization, with their use of telepresence, is asking the same question, which is, how is it that virtualization doesn't get earmarked with the death nail of relationships, which is what was really happening with the advent of the new technology? People in the past have used technology transactionally, right? So you get on a conference call and you get off. I've noticed, as watching telepresence calls, that people are sitting there on their keyboards doing their emails right until the meeting starts, right? Then the meeting starts and they dive right into the agenda. Now, remember what it was like when you showed up in someone's boardroom waiting for a meeting to start. What did you do? You had social conversation. You talked about the weekend. You got to know each other a little bit, right? So you're not doing that anymore. The problem is that we've added these new technologies, but we haven't adapted the processes and the mindsets about relationships into the technology process. In the olden days, technology was transactional, face-to-face was relationship. Well, we're moving to a world where more and more the only thing we're going to have is virtual more than anything, and if that's going to be true, we're going to have to infuse the relationship process to it. So one of the things I would do if I were you is, if you're leading a call, the next time you lead a call, why don't you start the call off by saying to your team, hey, everybody, just to make sure that we're all staying, you know, in touch with each other, let's do a quick round of what we call a personal professional check-in. That means that everybody in the call, let's assume there's 12 people in a staff meeting or something, tell me what's going on in your life. Just 30 seconds, give us all an update. Somebody will talk about going through a move. Their houses, they're moving, and their homes are, their lives are a little stressed right now. And that's great, by the way, because if you hear that kind of thing, then you'll have some sense of empathy why this person's leaving early from calls or checking out, instant messaging, early in the day. Another person could talk about the fact that their mother's been sick and they've been in the hospital. Another person could talk about their little kid's baseball game, right? But it doesn't take more than 30 seconds to reconnect with the human intimacy of people. You've got to start orchestrating that in your life and bringing that more into the same environment that you used to before. Start applying it to the technology.
That's a great suggestion. Thank you.
Welcome.
Our next question is from Margaret Escobar. Your line is open.
Hi, Pete. Thanks so much. I've really enjoyed this presentation. Question for you about accountability, the term accountability on the mindset. Can you just speak about that a little bit more? I'm not sure I'm quite understanding. Who's accountable to whom? What is that? How does that really fit in?
Okay, happy to. What's your name again?
Margaret.
Margaret. And by the way, my name's I don't mind being called Pete. My name's Keith. And the reason I don't mind being called Pete is because all the way when I was growing up, I actually didn't have a name for the first 5 years of my life. My dad's name is Pete, and all of his friends called me Repeat. So I'm perfectly comfortable with that.
That explains why I was confused. I'm looking at the slide saying Pete. That's what's
wrong. No, that's my pop. That's my pop. But anyway, so Margaret, it's a great question. So accountability means that great relationships are accountable to each other, and great relationships hold each other accountable, okay? So if you think about the most powerful relationships you have, they're the ones that periodically pull you aside and say, Margaret, you've often talked about wanting to go open your own business. Why aren't you doing that? Margaret, you've talked about wanting to get that raise. Why haven't you gone in and had that conversation with your boss? Margaret, you've talked about, wanting to spend more time volunteering. Why aren't you doing that? So, it's the kind of relationships that care enough about us to hold us accountable for the things we say we want to do. And I mentioned before, that's why, I don't know if anybody on the call has ever been involved with Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers has the highest statistical weight loss program of any weight loss program. It's not because the diet's any different or the information you learn. It's because of the weekly weigh-ins. You show up, you don't want to let people down, and people will hold you accountable to your weight success. And it's the same thing with AA. One day at a time, people show up, and, you know, they're held accountable for not drinking today by their peers. We're so easy to let ourselves down, but as humans, we don't want to let the tribe down. We don't want to let the people that we care about down. And so that accountability is important. Now, that means you've got to take those people, you've got to share with them your focus, you've got to share with them your target, your dreams, and engage them. And that's what we teach in Who's Got Your Back, and how do you take relationships, make them ultra-accountable to you, and really make them into a peer-to-peer support group. Does that help, Margaret?
Just what I needed. Thank you so much, Keith.
My pleasure.
Our next question is from Barth Sundaraman. Your line is open.
Hi, Keith. Thanks for a great presentation. And I read both your books. Excellent stuff.
Thanks.
My question is, how can this be applied also on the personal side, on the family side? It seems to be more professionally directed, at least to start with, rather than starting with family. That's the gist I get from what you said.
And that's true. Look, I mean, I'm not Dr. Phil, and I don't pretend that I know how to live, a rich personal life with your significant other, etc. But here's what I can say: I started all of this in my professional career, and then I moved it to my friendships. And if you noticed the linkage between Never Eat Alone, where it really was all about networking and my career. And then you started seeing the evolution of that into my friendships with Who's Got Your Back. I needed to step back and create a few deep lifeline relationships that I was going to be connected with, and I reached out to my friends. Well, what I can report is that it has infused my family life in a big way. I devoted the last book to my sister Karen, devoted the first book to my mom and my dad, and you know, I have to say that my relationship with my mother, my sister, my father's passed away. My significant others that I have in my life are so much richer because I now have a standard of what a real relationship is. I'm not going to hold back the truth, and I'm not talking about lying. I'm talking about not holding back the kind of truth that says this person needs to hear the truth from me. I'm no longer, and I've always been pretty generous in my personal relationships and my broad relationships, and I do go intimate pretty quick, but I've always reserved a level of vulnerability for myself, and I really didn't share them with even my closest relationships. And now I find that I can. My greatest fears for the future, you know, my fear that and I've always believed, and it's a very personal belief, that the greatest sin on earth is if you don't capitalize the talents that you've been given and maximize them for yourself and society while you're here. I think that was something infused in me by my father. I never thought I was that bright when I was growing up, but I knew if I worked really hard and I tried to squeeze every ounce of everything that I could out of me, that I could achieve. And I still try that hard, and my greatest fears are that I'll leave this planet and I won't touch as many people as I could because of mistakes that I would do to get in my own way. And I'm able to talk to people about that. And opening myself up like that, people are able to say to me, okay, Keith, here's how I'm willing to help you. And I'm talking about the closest relationships of my life. So the answer is it applies. It really does. Maybe someday I'll write, I usually write books after I've had the success myself. And on the family side, I'm still working on that one just like everybody else is out here. So maybe I'll write that one someday and celebrate it.
Keith, I have a question from somebody in India.
Yep.
Vivek Dutta is asking, I'm from India moving to the U.S. this month on a year-long assignment. What is your advice on harboring great cross-cultural relationships? And thank you for a powerful and enlightening message today.
Thank you. The first thing that I would suggest is if you're going to read in, go back if you're coming into the States and read Never Eat Alone. There is a different cultural style associated with building relationships in every country, in every region. But what I can promise you, Vivek, is that underneath all of the cultural eccentricities and all of the things that are might feel and look different to you in America than they do in India, people are people. You know, Vivek, every one of us as a human species emanated from 17 different tribes in Africa. We all have the same DNA. We're all hardwired anthropologically to believe and feel the same things as humans. And I know you know this because I know you've got friends from all different places of the world that once you get behind their walls, whatever their walls are, and their different colored, you know, robes and et cetera, people are people. So the most important thing for somebody like yourself coming into a new environment is suspend your prejudices. Your prejudices. And your prejudices are going to be things like they're not going to understand me. They're not going to like me. They may reject me. They might not embrace me for being different. You know, for any of us who are minorities, and I say that because I just got back from the Middle East, and there I was a minority in a new culture. The first thing that us as minorities have as a problem is that we prejudge that other people won't accept us, and that prejudgment holds us back. So just walk into this country and know that there are lovely, wonderful people waiting to have great relationships with you, and it doesn't matter where they're from or what their origin is or their religion or anything else. Know that there are wonderful people ready to embrace you here and start every day figuring out who they are, figuring out how to help them, figuring out how to care about them, and everything's going to follow for you when you get here, I promise.
Vivek, that's a big promise.
Hi, Keith. Andrew Yannakos. 2 points on lifelong relationships. Should you try to mix up, if you have two or three, maybe have someone sourced from business and someone maybe from another circle of life? And also, if you could talk a little about lifelong relationships versus mentors and mentorships.
Sure. The answer is yes. I would mix them up a little bit. The two qualifications of a lifeline relationship, and you can get this in more detail in Who's Got Your Back. Two number one characteristics are, do they get it and do they care? Now, what I mean by do they get it, do they understand where you want to go? So when you talk to them about your dreams, goals, and aspirations, as broad as they are, right, do they understand you? Do they have empathy? And do you trust that their advice will be sufficiently targeted? My sister, for instance, is a lifeline relationship for me, but not in business, right? So I only turn to her for things that are unique to my personal life and my family life, but she has no clue where I want to go and what I want to do from a professional standpoint. I have a lifeline group that actually meets on a weekly basis, and that lifeline group is all mostly professional in terms of helping advise me both personally and professionally. So you can have multiple groups, you can have multiple individuals, you can mix and match how you'd like, but it really depends, do they get it and do they care enough to be there for you and hold you accountable, tell you the truth, support you, be generous, etc. Relative to mentors, I find mentors are different. I've had mentors all my life, but I haven't had lifelines all my life. A mentor is somebody you reach out to, you get advice from, you have good conversations with, but it's interesting because many mentors, they're up on the pedestal, and I don't want to share my deepest, darkest fears, vulnerabilities, and insecurities with them because part of the mentor relationship is sometimes trying to impress the mentor. And in the same regard is sometimes mentors, they're actually feeling very prideful about where they are, and it's not mutual. It's one way. It's the mentor down to the mentee, not the mentee to the mentor. Now, so I've seen relationships. In fact, one of my very first lifeline relationships was an old mentor that I reached out to, and we turned it into a peer-to-peer. But there's a distinction from a one-way relationship from a superior to a subordinate to a peer-to-peer. And by the way, I don't mean that you can't have younger lifelines. I've got lifelines that are 15 years younger than me, and they're wise beyond their ages and wise beyond me. So you can really pick a broad brush of people, but it's different than mentorship, I believe. Is there another question, or are we ready to wrap up?
We do have another question from Liang Downey. Your line is open.
And by the way, Liang, just before you go, anybody who has questions, just go ahead and keep asking. Ask me on Facebook. Ask me on Twitter. My handle is @KeithFerrazzi. You can find me on Facebook. And if you go to KeithFerazzi.com, then you're going to be able to find an info key, and we answer all of our questions. Some of them are pretty standard, and you might get a standard answer, but that's fine as long as you get your answer. But if they're unique and they're powerful enough, they'll find their way to me, I promise. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hi, Keith. This is Liang Downey. Thanks for a great presentation. I actually heard about your book from another event several years ago. Now I really now put the author to the book, so I'm definitely going to read the book, Never
Fantastic.
Eat Alone. Okay, I have three questions for you. Number one, could you elaborate a little bit more about your 8 weeks training program, this online training program?
Yeah.
That a partnership with IBM. That's question one. Question two, when I was working for the company at IBM, my boss sent me to a in Dale Carnegie training to boost up the sales efficiency. So some of the principle I learned there is really value your relationship. In valuing your relationship, you really need to care about your client, put your client first, then pushing your own agenda. So I see there's some similarities of your preaching to that principle. Could you elaborate on the differences or more how you do the same with this Dale Carnegie principle? Third question is, I actually grew up in Asia. I've been in America for 20 years, and so I lived through both cultures in East and West. In the Eastern cultures, it's all about relationship in any dimension of human society relationships. So in businesses, you not only need to worry about, care about your clients, daughter and son, but their father-in-laws and spouse and everything, right? And I'm seeing, living in an industrial nation like U.S. and America, we're more of I don't want to put this term there, but a little bit of mechanical driven. So I'm seeing some of these principles were bringing us back to, this genuine human relationship. I'm thinking maybe U.S. is a little bit more catching up.
No, those are three great questions. Let me answer them in reverse order.
That's my question.
What? Beg your pardon?
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah. So let me go in reverse order. You are absolutely right. When I travel to Asia and the Asia region in the Middle East, etc., I've got to tell you that those cultures are more hardwired to relationships than anywhere else. You do not do business without a relationship first. And Americans are the ones, and I actually have spent a lot of my time, we're an Italian family, spent a lot of my time in Italy. I've got to tell you that the Europeans are even more relationship-focused than Americans. Americans, while we are socially open, we bound into a room, we pretend to share a lot of ourselves quickly, we socialize a lot, but then we get to business so quickly, right? We tend to dive right into the transaction, and we push the sale, and we push the transaction. We don't let people under the skin. We don't go deep enough in the States, and I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Let me turn that on its head, though. In Asia, and in one of my conversations in the Middle East recently was that in those cultures, you feel safe and you feel comfortable and you feel good about relationships within your region and within your country, right, and within your culture. But outside of that, you tend to quickly prejudge and not let those individuals in as quickly, right? So the insular nature of relationships tend to get in your way as well. So there's lots of stuff that we can all learn from each other, but I agree with you. This is not an American concept. It's actually a global concept that many parts of it are better understood in other parts of the world than they are in the United States. Relative to the training course and its relationship to Dale Carnegie, I mean, if you haven't read How to Win Friends and Influence People, you should. When I was growing up, that was my Bible next to my bed, and I would read it all the time. You just pick it up, read a couple of chapters. People find that is true of Never Eat Alone today. Never Eat Alone is called This Generation's How to Win Friends and Influence People, and I'm humbled and blessed to have the book be as such a bestseller. I mean, both Who's Got Your Back was a New York Times number one bestseller. That doesn't happen to business books. Never Eat Alone has never stopped selling since it came out years ago, and it's now become an evergreen book that everybody has to read. I love the fact when people come up to me and say, Keith, your books have gotten to the stage where I just can't wait till my children are old enough to read them. And that's because these are basic principles, and Dale Carnegie's got it. What the Carnegie Organization didn't do for me was didn't teach me the technology and the process of how to scale these kind of relationships for my success. Relationship Masters Academy teaches you a lot of the basic principles that you'll have heard before and the values, but now the question is, how do you supercharge that for real, authentic, strategic-driven success in your life? And what we did with this program today is we've got this new program that's launching called Relationship Masters Academy. As I mentioned, you can get it at relationshipmastersacademy.com/executive network. And what we did is, as we're going to be launching it, this is a program that costs $10,000 face-to-face. My team turned it into a mission-driven, daily, community-driven, very rich, very exciting, interactive development program that it doesn't feel like training, because it's actually helping you develop your real program. It's helping you develop your sales. It's helping you develop your real relationships on a daily basis. It's real life. And the learning system I'm very excited about, and I hope that more e-learning learns from what we've done, because it's fun and exciting. We're going to be rolling that out in the fall for probably about, we haven't decided the price yet, probably about $2,000. We're offering it today to this audience for $400 as an early entry to the program. So all you got to do is you got to go to that program, you got to sign up, and you'll be able, and I believe there's also, you'll be able to see and guide through it yourself and see if it's something you really like and get excited about. But the pilot will be launching in June, and that's, you know, if you're interested, I can see you then. But you can engage with a lot of our people and talk to our coaches and see if it's appropriate for you. But in a minimum, start following me on Twitter and Facebook and go ahead and see some of the stuff we've got up on YouTube. I'm sure it'll be helpful.
We actually are out of time here, so I apologize for that. But Keith, thank you so much for your time today. I'm sure everybody's learned a thing or two, or even 20, about how they can take relationships to the next level. And just, you know, the quick things that Keith talked about. If you want some quick tips, go to KeithBarazzi.com. If you really want to engage further, I've been looking a lot at this Relationship Masters Academy. It looks awesome, so I would highly recommend that. But I think what we all need to focus better on relationships, as Keith said, you know, most of us don't have those lifelines, and we all need them to be happier, better people, doing greater things for others. So thanks so much for your time, Flora. I'll hand it back over to you.
Great. And everyone, please touch base with either Molly in her forum space or directly with Keith and his organization at keithferrazzi.com. The URL is in the chart in front of you, and you can find out more about that special, very special discount as an introductory price for just greater IBMers. And we have Molly to thank for that, and Molly also to thank for introducing us to Keith. Keith, thank you very much for your time this morning.
I look forward to keeping in touch with everybody through our social media.
Great. Thank you all for joining, and do remember that the replay, a podcast of this event, will be available probably by next Wednesday. If not, have patience. We do have to edit a few things. We will post it in the Greater IBM Connection community site at greaterIBM.com. Thank you all very much for your time today, and we look forward to seeing you at next month's event.